Hello, I had the pleasure of recording with Dr. Deborah Dunning. She is an associate professor of instruction. She currently teaches in Ohio, and she teaches early childhood, parenting, and child development courses. She is also the author of a book called Grit to Teach, Mindset to Stay, and she mentors educators. I loved getting a chance to talk to her. She is so passionate about what she does, and I am thankful that she took the time to speak to me about the work that she does in the field of education. She teaches pre-service teachers and does a truly phenomenal job, and I learned that she is also a first-generation college graduate just like me, so that was really cool to be able to share that story with her and hear her perspective on what that looks like regarding teaching college students. She also mentioned her grit story and really focused on embracing those things that we go through in order to make us stronger, and how using those stories can help us connect with our students a lot better. I hope you enjoy. So to start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right. I have a doctorate degree in child development and family relations from The Ohio State University, and I am currently an associate professor of instruction at Ohio University.
That's awesome. So in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you have had in education.
Honestly, the good days, as a professor, I love coming in every single day. I get to teach people how to be teachers, and I'm working with adults. And they already have a passion for wanting to be there. So that's a big heads up in the teaching world, because every student that I have for those classes, they want to be a teacher. They want to be there. It's not mandatory that, you know, you have to go to college and you have to be there. So it's a really exciting environment to be in with college students. I would say if I have a bad day, it's when I can't reach a student. And like any of us that teach, if I call them into my office or they're just not putting forth that effort, and I see that they have so many gifts and talents that they would be such a wonderful teacher, but I can't get them to put forth the effort, that's a bad day in a college environment.
Sure, and actually I love that you're a professor, because that's my end goal. So I'm teaching right now, but I'm master's. I'm just starting in May, so I'm doing a 3-year program, and then afterwards I'm kind of trying to get my doctorate. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, because I just am starting out, but I wanted to be a professor and teach students how, you know, teach future teachers as well. So I'm always interested in hearing about that and how that looks like.
And it's wonderful, especially if you are like the first person in your family to have that undergraduate degree, or that first person to have that master's degree. Students can relate to that. We have a lot of first generation students at the college level. And when you can relate to them that way and say, I understand what it's like to choose a new path or to be, you know, a college student. And it's amazing that you can connect with them on that level. And so I think it really will give you an advantage looking at like your story and the things that you've shared, you know, on Twitter and different places, that you're going to be able to connect with someone who says, I don't know this world. Can you help me with this world?
Yeah, and I had professors at my university who, when I shared that part, they were also like accepting of that, and they truly helped me like figure out what I needed to get that degree, because I was always like, hey, you know, I'm the first, I don't know, you know, I don't know all the steps, I don't know how this looks like, I didn't know how to apply, so I figured all that out on my own. But it was nice to have that support system from my professors who really cared and wanted me to finish. So now sharing that I got into my, you know, into the master's program was exciting, because I didn't think that was possible for me, or I didn't think that was going to be an option, and I wanted to do it. So they help me with letter of recommendations, and you know, and again, it continues, but I'm excited for this new part in my journey.
That's good. I call that our grit stories. And I have each of my students share their grit story. Like, how did you get to be where you're at? What formed you? What made you into that person? And I find when I share my grit story, it encourages them to think about their own stories and how they've come to be. And so you're going to have a really strong personal grit story to tell them. And I think that is an incredible blessing for you.
Thank you. So likewise, what are some things you have experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
So for me, being a first-generation college student, I would say that was a very difficult time in my life. It wasn't when people now go on college visits and their parents go with them and you make these educated choices about programs. I basically chose a college because I ran high school cross-country and track. For me, it looked like a nice place, and I chose that. And I got accepted, and I went there. My parents dropped me off at 17. I wasn't quite, because my birthday is in August, and they left. And it was a time before cell phones and ATMs and the internet, and I really was on my own, and I had to negotiate this whole world. And for me, that was such a learning experience because I couldn't go home and share it. I had to find rides to go home. I mean, it really wasn't the world that I grew up in. But what I tell my students is that we always talk about nature and we always talk about nurture, especially mm-hmm. in child development. And then we say, hey, but there's that self-determination. That self-determination, that grit factor that everybody has, that's what's going to get you through like all the difficult times that you have. And being bitter. So when people say to me, weren't you bitter that your parents, like they didn't come to your undergraduate college graduation or your master's or your PhD? And I say, no, because I love my family. It's just not their world. And why would I be bitter about that? So if you learn to accept people for who they are and what they are, and you still have your family and you go on from there, you're going to be a much happier person. So for me, overcoming those things, I mean, my parents were very young. My father went off to a war like a year after they were married. I mean, that's a rough world. Mm-hmm. When I look back at it now, I'm amazed that I got to where I am. And I always thought I was going to college, and I'm not sure why I ever thought that. But I always thought that I would. And now being able to reach college students and see their potential, I have the ability to connect with them. And that to me is amazing, to say, hey, I believe in you. You know, we always say you have to have one person to believe in you mm-hmm. in that relationship theory. And I find that teachers are that person. We're the one constructive, caring relationship sometimes in a person's life. And again, how amazing is that we get to do that?
Yeah, and I think especially now, like I've started doing Google Meets with my students for my virtual office hours, and I never, like I didn't think any kids would show up. I was like, oh, I'll do this, you know, maybe one person will come. But I've had like 4 or 5 students that just stay on the whole 2 hours, and they're working mm-hmm. and we like, you know, socialize, and they'll ask me about how things are going, and we get to have that conversation that I wouldn't have if I didn't embrace the virtual technology, and being able to see them is powerful. So I think some kids are bored at home and they just want to talk to, you know, someone. And it's nice to be able to have that positive connection still going on.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I am finding that my students and I, even at the college level, I am connecting with them more. We're connecting through social media. We're connecting through our blackboards. We're Zooming each other and figuring out, you know, backgrounds and silly things to do. They need that connection too. And then in turn, because they are education majors, they're trying to figure out, now, how would I handle this as a future teacher? What would I do if I suddenly found myself in this spot? And so even going through that process with them, I keep telling them, look at all the things we're learning now that we didn't know about ourselves with technology. I mean, this is a learning curve for all of us, right? And mm-hmm. so we're trying to figure out, how do we still connect? And they really crave that connection. That hasn't stopped. Whether we're in the school building or whether we're on Zoom, they're still craving that connection that we have with them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's so powerful to keep that going. You work with future teachers, but what is one piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
For me, the biggest piece of advice I can give them is to be flexible. It's everybody goes in those first 5 years, especially because we know if we can get you in 5 years in teaching that we probably have you in the profession. But no matter how much we try at the college level, no matter how many classes you have, we're never going to be able to teach you everything that you need to know. A lot of that is on the job training. So if you can learn that you're not going to know everything and you're going to get better every year and you're going to learn about yourself and you're going to learn your own style and your technique and your philosophy of teaching is going to change. I look back at my first couple of years of teaching and think, oh my goodness, I had no idea what I was doing, but nobody does. And then you, as you're flexible, you're going to learn all of these new ways about yourself. And I think you're going to see yourself grow as a teacher. So what I can tell all my students is be flexible. Just be flexible.
Yeah, I think that's huge because I know when I started out, I was definitely like thinking back even on my first year. I know I'm only in my second, but you think about like, okay, I really didn't know what I was doing. And this year I feel better about things, but I still, because I switched schools and grade levels, I feel like it was my first year all over again. So then I'm still in that position where I'm making mistakes, I'm learning from them, but I'm not where I want to be. So then I'm like jotting things down all the time about what I want to change for next year. And I'm just trying to tweak things and like what didn't go well or what did I not realize when I switched from fourth grade to sixth grade? You know, like what are those things that I maybe overlooked when I was planning in the summer or like just things like classroom management that I want to work on or like different techniques I want to try. And it's always a reflective process. But I think when you're starting out, it's so easy to be hard on yourself and you need to give yourself grace. Just like what we're doing now and just realize that we have to take it one day at a time and you're always going to get better.
Absolutely. You know, I posted something today for my students and I said, you know, I teach you about Maslow and I teach you about Bloom, but today this is crisis teaching. It's not homeschooling. It's crisis teaching. And you've got to address Maslow before you can address Bloom. So right now you've just got to connect with them. And you've got to connect with the students and just let them know that everything's okay. And, you know, we're all working on this. Then you'll end up getting the content in them. But if you don't address those needs first, you're never going to get to Bloom and you're never going to get to the content.
Yeah, I agree. So how can people get in contact with you?
For me, I am at Ohio University. So if you look under the Patton College of Education, I'm there, Dr. Deborah Dunning, and I also have a Facebook group that we started. I started with my student teachers, Dr. Deborah Dunning, and it's Dealing, Discovering, and Doing Homebound for Pre-K through 5. And what we're doing is addressing all of the issues right now that people who are crisis teaching at home, what they're dealing with. We have connections with teachers. So teachers are connecting with them. And then my students are actually making videos so that parent can write into the Facebook group and say, I don't know how to do this third grade math. And then my students are making videos, putting it on Facebook so that the parents can actually watch the video and go, oh, that's how you do that third grade math. So we're trying to take the burden off some of the teachers by providing almost like a tutoring service on Facebook and then reminding parents it's okay. But I'm finding that a lot of teachers are connecting too and saying, you know, I really need to hear this message that I'm doing all of I can, everything's going to be okay. And so we're connecting, you know, teacher to teacher and teacher to student and parent to student. So it's been amazing. We started at a couple people and I think we're over 600 at this point, just connecting from California to Ohio, you know, to Florida, all over the place.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate the time that you took, and I loved hearing your story.
Thank you. It was wonderful to talk to you, too, and good luck on your journey. I got to tell you, every day I love teaching, and I wouldn't do anything else. It's the best job in the world.
I absolutely agree. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.